What a joy it is for us to be in the house of the Lord once again. Certainly we thank God for, come on, bless it, bless him. Give him thanks and praise for allowing us the privilege of being present in this place. Thank you, Deacon McLean, for devoting our hearts. That's a way of posturing our hearts, preparing our hearts for the reception of the receptivity of God's holy word. Certainly, times in which we live, we need the word of the Lord. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we thank God for the word of God. We thank God for sparing us and allowing us to see a new year, 2024. Amen. 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 I count it up. Honor and a privilege and a blessing to be in this 2024 year. And then I count it a blessing to see this day. As we often say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Amen. Glad folks act glad. Amen. Let me say it again. Glad folks act glad. Amen. Amen. All right, John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. We're still on our study of the Holy Spirit. Study of the Holy Spirit. He's a divine personality. And we have concluded that he's a person. He has a personality because he can think. He can speak. He has emotions. And so forth, so on. So he's a divine personality. It's imperative for us to know the Holy Spirit and how to relate to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. When we first started our lesson, I asked you, when was the last time you worshiped the Holy Spirit? And y'all kind of looked at me strange. Because oftentimes we think of the Holy Spirit as only helping us worship God with some ideal notion that he is not God. He's just our help to worship God, but he's God. He's God. He's God. Just as Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. He's not a lesser version of God. He is God. Amen. So John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, when whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you give us revelation, give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Lord, of the person, personality of the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives, Lord, that we will respond and relate to him properly, that we grieve him not, resist him nor quench him. In Jesus' name, make us one, Lord, in this Bible study session. Lord, that others will look upon us and know that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. Salvation. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Salvation. Lord, I pray that you get the glory out of this. Lord, it'll be for our good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Study of the Holy Spirit. Divine personality. That the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a divine being. That the Holy Spirit comes into our lives as a person, not as an experience only. You know, some of us, we try to identify the Holy Spirit by how we feel in a worship setting. You know, we say, some hit me in the crown of my head. And it ran down to the sole of my feet. But I don't understand how the Spirit can hit you and you stay and remain seated. You do all that bragging about, you know, the tingling sensation that you have or that you experience during certain songs and when we make a certain point in preaching and you never move. That you associate the Spirit with a certain feeling. But the Holy Spirit is more than an experience. Sometimes you don't feel anything in your body. He's not working with the body at times. He's working with your mind so that you can know the things of God. Matter of fact, this is where it starts. That's why we're teaching this, so you don't, you know, get mixed up. Because, you know, those feelings you're describing are the same feelings you describe when you first met your friend, your lover. And that's all you got to go by. Is a certain sensation, you know. You get to talking about when you first met your significant other and how you felt a certain way in your ears. Y'all, I'm not trying to make y'all laugh. Why y'all laughing? And how you just got the jitters. And the same description is what you give to the Holy Spirit. And so I'm trying to help you get beyond an experience or a certain sensation where you know the Holy Spirit so you don't get all mixed up. Because you can have those sensations and not have an experience. Ooh. So let me help you if I can. So the Holy Spirit is more than an experience. He's a living person. He's a divine being. And the Holy Spirit wants to be close. Matter of fact, he wants to indwell. He wants to be in the place of influence in your life. He wants to order your steps. He wants to be your guide. He wants to lead you in truth because he is the Spirit of truth. Now, he's not the Spirit of error. He's the Spirit of truth. So you have to learn how to identify the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit is at work in trying to guide your life, you don't resist, quench, or grieve. So you have to know him by way of scripture. So getting to know the Holy Spirit requires spending time with him, allowing him to talk with us, to talk to us. Spending time and talking with the Holy Spirit means to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Often we, when we come into the sanctuary, we invite God into his own house. Can you imagine a guest going into your house before you and saying, come on in, you invited? We try to invite the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit is not in us. Listen, when you understand the position of the Holy Spirit, he's in you. So when you come in, he's in. Matter of fact, he never leaves you. So you are always in the company with the Holy Spirit. You're always in the company of the Holy Spirit, so he never leaves you. That's why the Lord can say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, because the Spirit of Christ is in us. So that's fellowship, fellowship. Now, what needs to happen is we need to be sensitive or become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that you don't resist him so much where you can't sense. You know, you can be in a room with a lot of people and still be lonely. That you can be in a room with a whole lot of people and still seem all by yourself. That the Holy Spirit can be in you and you not be sensitive to know. So when that happens, the Holy Spirit seems as if he's distant. And when he seems distant, you try to invite him. But biblically, he never leaves you. He's at home in you. I'm trying to help us with fellowship and learning how to relate, because we be saying some stuff that don't make any biblical sense. You know, when I was in seminary, they said, when you learned, you can't enjoy what a whole lot of other people can enjoy, because, a lot of what they're saying is not biblically right and sound and correct. And we got a whole lot to straighten out because we have not dealt with, this stuff biblically. He's in you. He's in you. Everywhere you go. He's not only with you when you're in church or in the sanctuary. He's with you at home. He's with you in your car. He's with you out in the store. He's with you at family reunions. I almost said bingo, but yeah. He's with you there too. That's just one of those moments where you resist him. Yeah. All right, let's look at this. I want us to see two aspects of the response of the Holy Spirit in that how he reveals himself to us and how we are to respond, and then how he responds to the way we respond. Okay? Notice the Holy Spirit reveals God's emotions to us and through us. To us and through us. To us and through us. Okay? So the Holy Spirit reveals God's emotions. the way God feels about certain things. Now, this is important, especially in our day, because we tend to think and call everything good and God. That we try to make God okay and acceptant of everything. Even sin, we have gotten so bad that, you know, we feel that God has changed the way he feels about sin. Y'all in here with me? Now, y'all saying, but if you didn't think that way, some of you just kind of slow down. You wouldn't do some of the stuff that you are doing, and you wouldn't go some of the places, and you wouldn't say some of the things. And you have become an antinomian. You have become a manipulator of grace, because you try to change the way God feels about sin. Sin is still an issue with God. So the Holy Spirit, his function, one of his functions is to reveal to us the emotions of God. How God feels about certain things. So he reveals it to us first. And then through us. Notice, not just to us, but also through us. Where you can't turn a blind eye and a deaf ear. That God has called you to express his emotions about certain things. Now, I'm tempted to kind of deal with through us, and it just kind of on me. And I guess while I'm here thinking on it, I just kind of need to kind of hit it a little bit and then come back to it after I deal with to us. But let me deal through us. Just like when I'm preaching, I don't smile and laugh when I'm talking about sin. Because it's not funny. So that's God through. You see what I'm saying? I don't want you to think light. I don't want you to, you know, think little of sin. So when God has me dealing with sin, there's no smiling expression on my face. Because he wants you to know that he is not fond of sin. There's nothing hilarious. There's nothing great. There's nothing good. There's nothing glorious about sin. So what God will do is he'll burden the heart of the preacher just as he will burden your heart. So when you're talking with your children, there are certain expressions you ought to have on your face. So that the person you are communicating with will know that it's not something to be taken lightly. So he reveals his emotions. The Holy Spirit reveals the emotions of God to us. And then through us. Now let me deal with to us first. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Now we take that to be just as plain, straightforward, and simple. Listen to it again. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Now, we need to know the love of God before we try to share the love of God. You need to know the love of God before you try to share the love of God. Now, here it is. The Holy Spirit comes as the Spirit of truth. So he gives us the biblical definition or God's definition of what love is. Because you can get misconstrued and get all discombobulated in what you say love is. So, God is love. So, it's not just an attribute of God. It's the very nature of God. Which says to me that if I don't have a connection with God, there's no way I can receive it and give it. See, a lot of us been hurt because we had an expectation of people that didn't know God to love us. Y'all say amen. That's why it's so important to find your mate in the Lord. Because if you want to be loved like God defines love, you need a person in the Lord. In the Lord. That the world has a false notion, a false idea of what love is. That's why all the confusion has come about in the world today in which we live, that people, you know, think they can equate, you know, the same thing that God's people have. No way. Because the source of love is God. Now, you got to have the Holy Spirit to receive that. As simple as that is and as simple as it sounds, you need the Holy Spirit to confirm this in your life. That without God, there is no love. We can argue all day long, you know, with people in the world. Say, well, no, you can't tell me that I don't know how to love. I can tell you by way of the word of God that if you don't have God, you don't love. Because the Bible says right here, he who does not love does not know God. Now, he structured it where there's no compromise. There are no concessions. All right, here it is. So we need to know the love of God before we try to share the love of God. You cannot share what you don't know. That's simple. The Holy Spirit confirms it in our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us know God and his love. This nature of God, this attribute of God, it helps us to know. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is in your life, you know you are loved of God. My God, I know God loves me. You know, as the song said, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little children here below, they weak, but he's strong. Yes. Jesus loves me. I know it. I know I'm loved. So I'm not running here and there, everywhere, looking for love. Can I say something? If you don't love me, that's all right. I got love. I know God loves me. And it's confirmed in my life by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. So, love is the very nature of God. Because the Holy Spirit is in me and he's God, I have the very nature of God in me. Now, let me tell you what should come out of, because it's to us first, right? Now, if God is in you, there ought to be some evidence. And the Bible says the evidence of God being in you, the evidence of you being a disciple, is your love for the brother. Now, I like that brethren because it denotes those of the same womb. Now, you know you something if you hate church folks now. If you don't like folks in church, there's something wrong with you. If you don't like folks you related to spiritually, if you can't stand born again folks, now, it's to us and then through us. And he says we should love the brethren. So that's the evidence that you love. You love, your love is the evidence of you receiving the love of God. So it comes to and then through you become a conduit. Conduit. All right? Believers are sustained and satisfied by the loving presence of God through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to work that in your spirit. Let me read it again. Believers are sustained and satisfied by the loving presence of God through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, he sustains. You see that? He keeps. And then he satisfies. So you don't have all of the worldly appetites. You are already full. See that? So you don't have all of these appetites that you're chasing, because the Holy Spirit is not causing you to chase after and cat after and reach after things of the world. That he settles you, sustains you, satisfies you in the Lord. Paul talked about, you know, being content, learning to be content. You know, you have to really get there. You know, get to that place of contentment in your life where, you know, you're not easily bought. You know, how much do you cost? See, when you are not sustained and satisfied, there's a price. Boy, my God. How much you cost? How much can people pay to make you act out of character? I mean, you said day in and day out. You know, and I'm on this thing of actors now, you know. They have a price. And, you know, this big old controversy about men wearing wigs and dresses and stuff now, you know, and, you know, being cross-dressers. And they say, well, I did it because, you know, the pay was right. So when you're not sustained and satisfied, there's a cost. There's an amount you're willing to sell out for, because you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to sell you in your life. So we are sustained as believers. Now, I want you to really work this in your spirit, because it's not only with actors and actresses. It can be on you on your job. Now, you know it's wrong to mistreat somebody. But because they promise you a little elevation and promotion, because you're not sustained and satisfied, you end up mistreating a brother or sister or a sinner, you know, to get that promotion. Because the Holy Spirit, you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to what? Satisfy and sustain you in your life. And listen, the price you receive is not enough to pay the price you'll pay. Man. So it's he's to sustain and satisfy. Now watch this. As the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit reveals the loving emotions of God, that this love keeps him seeking to save those who are lost. We read of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That the Holy Spirit conveys to us that we are God's chosen treasure. Now, that helps me. That helps me in my being sustained and satisfied and settled. That I am valuable. Now, regardless of what value you place on me, the Holy Spirit gives me my value, my true value, as it relates to God. I'm valuable. So you don't have to just be running around trying to get the approval of people and all that kind of thing. You know, I think I told you all this before. You know, you have to watch people because people will make you feel next to nothing. If you ain't got some stuff settled in you already, oh, Lord, have mercy on you. You know, you can be feeling on top of the world, feel like you're on top of your game, come out and ask somebody how you look, and they just make you feel like nothing. Or it can be the other way around, you know. You knowing you ain't looking worth nothing, and then you get around folks and say, well, how I look? Oh, you look so good. Then as soon as you leave away from around, I say, Lord, have mercy. You can't, you know, let folks, you know, define you and set your worth. That is already determined by God, that you are a chosen treasure. You know, I told y'all a few years ago, I had this young man. His wife had left him, and he was crying some profusely. He had came to the office, and he was talking with me. He said, boy, he was crying. He couldn't hardly get word out. And I said, my God, man, what's going on? He said, well, she left me. I said, well, what did you do wrong? He said, nothing. I said, man, get yourself together. I said, are you trash or trash? He said, well, I'm treasure. I said, if you treasure, then they're looking for treasure every day. I said, now, if you trash, you got a right to cry because they're throwing trash away every day. And I told him, get in the Word of God, man. Know who you are in the Word of God. So you don't let people determine your worth. This is important. See, the Holy Spirit has a ministry in our lives. He's to reveal to us our worth to God. And listen, when you know you are God's chosen treasure, you know that right there kind of help you in how you let people deal with you. You just can't help me no any kind of way now because I'm treasure. Y'all come on, talk to me. You know, treasures come in many forms. If you got an expensive vase, and it's worth about $10,000, you ain't gonna let many people handle that. Put that down. Now you don't come in here and mess with that, because one slip of the hand can ruin the value. It can't be dropped. Y'all come on, talk to me. You know, you got a certain watch that's high in value. You don't let folks borrow that. You know, if you got a Rolex, Rollx, that's not how it's written. You can let them borrow that one, but you know, when you got the real Rolex. If it got two L's in it, you don't worry about that one. Ain't no value to that. But when you are valuable, you are mindful of how you let people handle you. I'm trying to help us now. You just can't talk to me in that kind of way. You just can't do me in that kind of way. And when you start putting that together and start putting that in place in your life, you know, people will be few in dealing with you. You know, some years ago, I'm going to say this, and I'm just trying to get y'all to understand value. You know, there's a big difference in a Kia Sophia and a Bentley. There's a big difference now. There's a difference in value. You know, and value determines the demand. Y'all do know that, don't you? Okay, so, you know, people that, you know, have Kia Sophia, you know, kind of pay and all like that, they kind of go to the Kia a lot. And they just want a car. They just want a car. But when you start rolling in Bentley money, see, you can't even go to the lot. When you go to the lot, they just pull it up on the screen. They don't even have them out there for you to look at. And then you got to kind of figure out and all that kind of thing and make it up and all that kind of what you want in it, what kind of seats and everything, what color. And then what color umbrella you want to come out of the side with a door and all that kind of thing. Whether you want it to be a coupe or you want it to be a sedan. See, because the value is higher. And because it is valued high, you have to order it. Now, I haven't got there yet now. I'm just talking from somebody else's experience now. But I'm just trying to show you the difference in the value. Now, when it comes to you as a child of God, you have to determine whether you're a Kia or a Bentley. Now, let me help you even in relationships. Now, I'm just speaking in general now. See, can't know just anybody get this in. See, y'all just sitting there like y'all, hey. Like there's no value to you, you know. You just can't come over here and say, well, you know, Roger's cheap. And I'm talking about in terms of relations now. And that'll keep you from so many bad relationships when you learn to value yourself. And when the Holy Spirit has given you your true value, that you won't have any business being with any and everybody just to be with somebody. Oh, man. Boy, I got to quit. Boy, 2024 is already rocky, isn't it? I mean, you have to feel that. You have to know that. You have to know that. That there's nothing cheap about you. So the Holy Spirit reveals that we are God's chosen treasure. Listen to him in Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. So there's a purpose for which he had done what he has done. The purpose for calling you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Purpose for giving you your true value. So you don't be ripping and running here and there, seeking your value from people who don't know their value. So you can broadcast his glorious works. You see this? His glorious wonders in your life. So notice, the Holy Spirit conveys to us that we are God's chosen treasure. Now listen to this. God loves all people. God loves all people. But all people are not his treasure. Ooh, my. That 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That God's treasure is those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves all people, but all people are not his treasure. We have a special place and a special value because we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are valuable. We are valuable. We are valuable. And I want you to apply this to your life in all facets of your life. You know, your social connections, your financial portfolio, your economic status, whether you're rich or broke, you're still valuable. So you don't be cheap. You don't sell yourself cheap. That you're not easily bought. I told y'all a while ago, Dr. Elwin Rogers told me some years ago, he says, if you're doing it for money, you eventually turn to the devil for a raise. That there has to be some things settled in your life. The Holy Spirit has to sustain and satisfy you. So money don't be the focus, don't be the reason for which you are doing what you're doing, but it be born out of relations with the Holy Spirit and relations with God through the Holy Spirit. That you see the value of people. You know, how you relate to people is according to the value. Let me tell you something about time. I see time as valuable. That's why I don't waste it. You know, I was told if you make good of people's time, they'll give you a little bit more of it. So you don't let people waste your time. So the Holy Spirit gives you value. He gives you your true value. Let me start this, and then I'll I have to break. But here, listen to this. Not only is it to us, but it's through us. Now Romans chapter 5, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, there are negative actions of men that affect the emotions of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to work that in your spirit, that there are negative actions of men that affects the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit seeks to draw us into relationship with himself, to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to highlight that the Holy Spirit seeks to draw us into relationship with himself to transform us into the image of Christ. That our relationship with the Holy Spirit is determined by the choices we make. That our choices affect our relationship with God just as our behavior affects our relationship with people. that our wrong choices elicit the following emotional responses as the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is grieved by sin. The Holy Spirit is grieved by sin. Notice what it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The word grieve, lupo, which means to distress flexibly or passively. It means to be sad, to be in heaviness. So our sin is as a weight to the Holy Spirit. So when we live a life of sin, it grieves. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Dr. Michael Youssef said, to quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to say no to the Lord, to refuse to heed His voice, and to choose instead to do what we want to do to achieve our own personal goals or comforts. So when the Holy Spirit works, or the Holy Spirit work is obstructed, when sin is trifled with, when deity is treated carelessly, when place is given to the devil, when the spirit of the world is cherished, the Holy Spirit is grieved. So he says, grieve not. Grieve not. We're living in a day where the spirit is grieved, because we don't think much of sin. We don't even talk much about sin. We don't even caution our children against sin. We're living in a world where everything seems to be okay, that there's nothing wrong with anything. We have a problem with making the distinction between right and wrong, wrong and right. And the Bible says, woe unto any man that says good is evil and evil is good. We live in a world where the word judge is thrown around carelessly. That if you say anything about anything anyone is doing, they say you're judging me. I'm not judging. I'm just fruit inspecting. The Bible says a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Now, can you imagine having an inability to distinguish between a pear and a grape? An apple and an orange? That you can't tell the difference in a pecan and a walnut? So the spirit is grieved because no one wants to talk about sin. The altars are vacated. You know, it was a time where people would flood the altars and lay on the altars and repent. Now when you say something about, you know, being restored, people just look at you. You know, they don't even come to the place of exchange. You know, altar is the place of exchange where you give something to receive something, where you give up something and take on something else. And so, you know, the altars have become vacated because, you know, we have a problem saying what sin is. You know, we give a new name, or we have given a new name to a lot of what's going on to make, you know, us feel good and feel justified. You know, when I was coming up, you were living in and you didn't have a covenant. They called it shacking. And they said it in a way that make you just feel like you were shacking. Now you call it a live-in relationship. You know, I'm just trying it out. How long? They don't let you test drive a car that long before you take a contract out on the car. And here it is. You've been standing together for 2 or 3 years, and he done tried you out for 2 or 3 years. She done tried you out for 2 or 3 years, and you still hadn't decided to put a contract? Come on, talk to me now. You got, so, you know, even when it comes to, you know, same sex, nobody wants to confront it now. Afraid to talk about it. Scared they're going to put us on TV, you know. But you know you don't have the same thing with two men and two women as you have with a man and a woman. You can't get no flow of electricity with two sockets. Come on, talk to me. I'm just... Come on. There's no procreation. It's not the same thing. But so we are twisted because, you know, we want to, you know, live by and be guided by the ways of the world instead of heeding the Spirit and the guidance of the Spirit. And when the Spirit is ignored, he's grieved. Let me finish. Matter of fact, I just quit. Y'all just stand on up. Let's kind of pray. And I just quit. I just quit. Deke, I just quit. I just quit. I quit. I quit. Y'all don't want to stand up and pray now. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. I'm done. I'm done. Come on. We'll start with number 2 next week. Come on, let's pray. Any prayer requests? Beverly Fields? Beverly Fields. Heart attack. Y'all come on, make our circle. Michael Spencer. You lead us in prayer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Come on, prayer requests. Robert and Sister Ollie. Okay.
Wonderful lesson.
Thank you,
Pastor.
Any other prayer requests? Delois Lawrence. Tony Cook, all right. Latanja LaShore. Janika January. All right. Amen. We'll pray for them. All right, any other prayer requests? Charles Russell. Okay. Latrice Fletcher. Tony, our drummer. He's suffering from flu.
Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we bow again before you in Jesus' holy and powerful name. Lord, we bow thanking you again for this opportunity to bow down before your throne of grace and cast all these cares, all these requests, Lord, that has been made before your feet, Master. We know you knew of them before we cried out. We know you've been working on them, Lord, before we cried out their names. We know you know them, Lord. And we're asking you to have mercy on them, Master. Please, in Jesus' name, then bless those that requested them, Lord, on their behalf, Master, please, in Jesus' name. We thank you for this circle, Lord, and every hand that's held. Let them realize that we are all part of one body. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, one to another. Lord, bless our pastor, please. Please keep him healthy, Lord. Please keep Sister Rogers healthy, Lord. Please keep their family healthy, Lord, so he can focus, Master, on the studying and on the teaching and on the preaching of your holy word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for my wife right now, Lord. We pray that you continue strengthening her, building her up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.